Well, it looks like, does that better? I just turned on the regular speakers. Okay. We must not have my headset on, which is just as well, because all I was really doing was bitching about my headset. So you didn't miss anything. Kathy, will you make sure, if I'm not sure who is here today, but whoever the coach is of record, will you make sure that the first little part gets edited out before we upload it so it's not just silent? Otherwise, people will think we have a recording problem. What I was talking about, though, was that I just spent 6 days with your Tribe Sisters. We had 70 of them come into town to do a week-long intensive with me. It was amazing. I appreciate just all of the people just that helped us with that, with all the coaches, my community team, mentors, just everybody who was behind the scenes making sure that you guys didn't really miss us, because we were checking in and stuff, but they were just taking such boss care of you guys that I could really focus while I was there. And for the betterment of all of us, I learned so much. This happens every time I do a live event. You know, when I actually get to talk to people in real time, seeing what they're going through, really diving deep, you know, people were getting coached time and time again all week long so we could kind of unravel their story even more. One of the neat things is I learned so much more about what we need more education on in the tribe. There were two very distinct concepts that came out of that week that I literally made up on the fly to try to help people understand. One was about feelings and one was about thoughts that we are going to be converting into content for you guys. So even when I'm at those events during that week, I process and study and learn so much that takes what you guys are going to experience in the next couple months just to a whole nother level. So I'm very excited, especially for those of you who are the struggle with feelings. We came up with a whole brand new concept about feelings and how do you go from, like, we called it the feelings ladder. And so it was like, but how do you go from, you know, like a lot of us think that, well, if I'm sad, I need to be happy. And we were talking about there being a feelings ladder and how to identify other feelings to feel on the way down. Like if sad is way up here, we want to get back all the way down to feeling, you know, good or whatever it is. So anyway, it's an interesting concept. I'm going to be working on it. That will be something that will be coming up in the next couple months. It's going to be so fabulous. And we also have a story about just our thoughts that came out of it. That was really good. And it was brought to you by my 17-year-old son, who educates me on all things about ducks and animals. And he had told me a story about ducks that made me, just in the middle of teaching, think of a new way to explain what happens when our thoughts are running wild. So that will be coming out very soon, probably in one of the first 60 videos. I'm wanting to shoot that one pretty fast because it's such an interesting concept. And then today, it's weekly planning day. So let me tell you how I started my day. So as you guys know, I've been gone for an entire week. I came back home Friday night. I had date night with my husband. I'd planned it all week. Then yesterday, if you can even imagine that when you've been gone for an entire week and you come home and you've been working around the clock and you're tired. And so I built in for Saturday to, on purpose, have nothing that I had to do. I chose to think about what would be a gift to me. So I made sure I unpacked. I didn't think about it as I have to unpack. I really decided, all right, if I'm going to unpack, I want to make sure that I take joy out of it, that I feel like it's a gift I'm giving myself. And one of the things that we kept talking about all week long, and this is what I want you guys to think about when you're making your weekly plans and your monthly plans, is I want you thinking about, you know, the stuff that you keep saying, I have to do this, where can you tie some joy or comfort, or at least getting over the story that it's something you have to be doing, that it's something that you're just choosing to do for yourself and why? Every single thing you do could be thought of that way if you challenge yourself. Most of you don't want to challenge yourself to think that way. You want to hang on to your shitty diaper about why it's unfair, why you shouldn't have to be doing this stuff. Guys, when I tell you, like I told the 6 day people, all that does is make you feel miserable. You are now at the effect of your own story. If you want to go through life feeling better, you have to be the one who is going through life creating with conscious design the story you want to tell yourself around the things you're doing anyway. So I had to unpack yesterday. Otherwise, I would be sitting there looking at my luggage, wishing somebody else would do it. Sitting there, like, just, it would just create so much dread and so much, like I don't like looking at something and thinking 100 times over, this needs to get done. Y'all do that with your kitchen counters and stuff. And then you make up some bullshit story that you shouldn't have to be cleaning up the kitchen counters and junk. And for weeks, you'll do this crap. Rather than just one day, instead of eating over it in the pantry, you take that same 10 minutes and you clean off the counter. Just throw away a bunch of shit. I have a standing rule in my house. If we haven't touched it in 2 weeks and it's been on the counter, it's a goner. It either gets a home or it gets the trash. And I don't feel guilty about throwing stuff away. If I hadn't opened it, I might as well just throw it away. It's just sitting there. So I made sure that I got unpacked. The other thing that I really wanted to do yesterday for myself is I wanted to take a piece of paper, and this is what I suggest all of you do when you're doing your weekly planning. I took a piece of paper and I wrote every single thing that I could think of that I needed to get done this week. I had been out of the office for 6 days. I had like all the work that needs to get done for next month. I knew that it would be sitting there. I wanted to give myself peace of mind to write that list. I did not have to do anything with the list. I did not have to worry about the list. I like gave myself permission to just be like, let's just write the list. Tomorrow we'll figure out where it all goes. So I did a big download on that. And that gave me the gift of like coming home and just getting a few things done consciously and deliberately for myself. Now, I'm going to tell you, I could easily tell you another bullshit story. I could be like, well, I better write all this stuff down because I'll forget it. And I'm going to have to do it today because it might be too late to do it tomorrow or I won't remember it. Like, I can tell myself a terrible story. I just don't choose to do that. If I am going to do something, I will decide how I get to feel about it. And I'm going to do it on purpose. I am not going to let my brain just go wild where it wants to go wild and act like a toddler. That's not how I roll. So I just made sure that I made my list, and then I took my son to Whole Foods. I didn't have any food in the house. Not a lick. I didn't have Aunt JJ make me food last week. So when I got home, guess what? Like, they had a couple dinners for them. Queenie didn't have nothing in the house. So I was like, all right, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to Whole Foods. It's about a 25-minute drive from my house. But you know what I know Whole Foods has? Food already cooked. I didn't want to be cooking. I didn't want to be going out to eat. And I didn't want to be left eating whatever Chris Crabtree was going to pick up wherever he went, because I guarantee it'd be a burger and fries. I didn't want to eat that shit. So I got in the car and I was like, Logan, do you want to go with me? Because I knew I also needed to spend time with my child. I had not seen him all week, but one time for breakfast. So I used the car ride both ways as an opportunity for us to talk, because I knew I was going to be tired and I wouldn't want to sit up all night long and do the things. So I just made sure that I deliberately planned and gave my, hang on, I'm going to sneeze. I made sure that I gave myself conscious, deliberate planning over how I wanted to be thinking and feeling about my time, and compassion for what did I want to get done? What is it that I absolutely wanted to get done that I knew would be easily, like, put me in a place to feel like I was given a gift to myself. And those were the big things. So today I got up this morning, got up at my regular time. I took that to-do list. I just took everything on it. It had personal and work on it. I went through my calendar. If y'all don't know, if you go to the Facebook group, my private calendar is there, the one that I created myself. I just created in Pages for me. I went through every single day. time blocked all of my time and put every single thing in there, including I fly out on Friday. So I made sure to plug in time to pack for my trip and do the things I needed to do to get ready for my trip. I'm going to be gone for the weekend. So I'm feeling good. I know that I've got a food plan in place for next weekend. I'm going to be in New Orleans, having a quick little trip where I'm going to be spending some time with my girlfriend, Jane. We are doing, I'm up in the air. I'm supposed to do a half marathon on Sunday, and I got to be honest, I've done all the training for it. I'm ready to go, but I'm just not sure I want to do it. I don't like my reasons for doing it. I like my reasons for doing a 10K instead way better, but like y'all and like what I tell you guys, always like your reasons. I want to do some thought downloads and models on it, and I want to make the most loving and compassionate choice for me. I have not been feeling well the last couple weeks. I'm kind of run down. I feel like I got something coming on. I'm going to be on my period for this race, and I got what I wanted out of it. I showed up for the training. I did all the things. I did training that I'm going to tell you today when I did my last long run of an hour and a half, I literally Marco Polo'd my girlfriend right afterward, and I said, there was not a minute of this run, the 90-minute run, where I did not tell myself, just keep going, quitting is not an option. So I got to practice for 90 minutes telling myself, you can do this. You're going to do this. Stop whining. I also thought, I listened to some podcasts and got some ideas for stuff that I want to teach you guys. But one of the biggest things that I drew out of it was, you know, every time you think an urge is intolerable, remember that 90-minute run where every single minute you had to remotivate yourself. Every single minute you had to tell yourself, quitting's not an option. And I even told myself in the middle of that run, there will be no deciding on the half marathon based on this experience. We're going to journal. Because I really believe that when the more you write, guys, the better of a thinker you become. The more you use my planner and the more that you write, like, and do the worksheets and stuff inside of No BS, you become a better thinker. And everything you're learning here when it comes to P&P is the way through weight loss is to become a better thinker. You always make a decision if you're going to overeat. You always make the decision as to whether or not you're going to have your back through everything, whether it's deciding to eat on plan or deciding to not beat yourself up if you don't eat on plan. We have to become better and evolve thinkers. Let's sneeze again. I swear I think I'm getting sick. Oh, me. All right. Let's do, see, somebody's doing the Rock and Roll 5K next Saturday in New Orleans. Hey, I just walked a half marathon this morning. Congratulations, y'all. All right, let me I do have elderberry here. Trust me, I'm doing all the things right now. I have got, I just got the Dr. Perricone's greens shit that's supposed to help with immunity. And Inside Beauty, he says it's going to give me all my youths on the inside. We shall see. Okay, here's how today's call works. If you want to get coached, just raise your hand. Today is open coaching. So I'm coaching on all the things today. But here's what I need you to do. When I call on you, please make sure you are seated. Do not be walking around. I get so car sick. Like, even if you guys are carrying me around with you, it makes me nauseous when I see it on the screen. So make sure you are someplace. You also cannot be driving. I don't care if you're in your car, but you need to make sure that you're not driving, because I will not coach you while you're driving. So you have to be like at a standstill. And that's it. All right, let's see. Lisa, you're up first. Make sure that if you raise your hand that you actually want to get coached. Hello, Lisa.
Hi, this is my first time, so I'm trying to go. Oh, there I am.
You're okay. Good. You got it.
I am a newbie.
Hey.
And I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I'm really enjoying it. My thing that I'm struggling with is the clock and looking at the clock. In particular, Dinner time. I want to be done. I want to be done at 7 o'clock. I want to resume the rest of my night, but I may not be hungry right then. So I'm like, oh, I'm just going to eat anyway, because I just want to be done with the night and get out of the kitchen. That's kind of what I've been struggling. And then also, like,
so I, why is that a problem?
Well, because I'm eating when I'm not hungry.
Yeah. Can you back up other times to, like, compensate? Like, what are you learning from this is my biggest question. Rather than just continuing to be like, I just want to be done, are you back right. to eating less at another meal so that you can be hungry?
Yes. I have stopped skipping my snack, my afternoon snack. So I get up really early. I get up at, like, 5 o'clock in the morning. So I eat, like, I do, like, a shake at, like, 6:30, and then, so I eat kind of early, so I'm getting caught because it's a really long time between lunch and when I'm done driving the kids around.
So you have a shake at 6:30. When do you eat lunch, typically?
Probably, I have breakfast, like, at 8:30, and then I eat.
So you have a shake and you have breakfast. Are you hungry?
Oh, yeah. I'm one of those people that actually not, I could skip dinner. I'm hungry at the beginning of the day.
Why don't you just skip dinner then? If you're not hungry and you want to be done, it doesn't sound like there's any reason to be eating other than a thought about you should be eating.
Yes. But I'm also finding myself during the day looking at the clock and being like, it's time to eat. Like, I'm still struggling with that. But I'm starting to, like, let's wait 30 minutes.
Let me ask you this. Are you struggling with it or are you learning to not do it?
I am noticing that I'm doing it. I'm not saying that I'm not struggling, but I'm noticing that I am watching the clock a lot.
Yeah. Let's just clean up your language a little bit.
Okay.
I said, let's just clean up your language a little bit.
Okay.
Because it's helpful. It's just helpful when you're like, when you go back and you watch this video, like, you keep describing all of it as a struggle.
Yeah. That's not really, yeah.
Right. But your brain is like, I'm going to tell you right now, it's struggling because you wouldn't be saying it if you didn't believe it.
Right.
So why does it feel like a struggle is my question. So have you done the model lesson yet?
No, I've just done it. I just listened to it today.
Okay. Well, we're going to model.
Yay.
I bet I did 1,000 this week. So I'm real good at it right now. So struggle is going here. And I'm just going to put the clock. Because everything keeps coming back to your thoughts about time. Time around food. Struggle. Struggling.
Yeah.
What is your time?
I'm sorry, say again.
Is your thought you shouldn't be watching the clock? Like, what is your thoughts about that?
That I'm paying more attention to the clock than the hunger scale.
So why is that a problem?
It's a problem because I sometimes eat when I'm not necessarily at my minus two.
Okay, well, I understand that. But why is it a problem for you emotionally?
I think about that. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I think I'm a very like, you know, I'm an accountant. So I'm like very, you know, this is the time I do this. This is the time I do this. You know, I'm just one of those. That's my natural personality. Uh-huh. And then I also am like, okay, I just finished a hard task. I have to get doing this other project. This would be a good time to eat. Now, this would be a good, you see what I'm saying?
Because then I reward myself. That's we call it reward eating.
Yeah. And it's just like, okay, this is a natural break in the day. I'm kind of hungry. I look up at the clock, you know, I'm like, I have to start this next project. Mm-hmm. This would be a good time to eat. And then I'm like, but I'm not at my minus two. So
I've been trying. You're struggling.
Because I keep saying struggling.
Well, that's one of them. No, it's because you have a thought that, like, one is I'm naturally a data person.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a data type. Like, we're not losing weight loss by counting and, like, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So that is going to feel like a struggle if you're looking for like, well, if I'm going to look to the time to decide when I'm going to eat, all I'm really sensing from you is not much of a problem at all. It's okay, going to be a mind shift thing. And it's your brain struggling between how you've always done it and how you're going to do it now. So what I just want you to do is rather than saying that I'm struggling with it, I want you to drop into the idea of I'm noticing I'm still eating by the clock. I'm noticing that I am eating because it's a good time to eat, which is a terrible thought, right?
Right.
When's the best time to eat?
It's when you're hungry.
When you're hungry. So let's do that thought rather than struggle.
Okay.
So I think this will be good for everyone to see. This is a very common like thing. And I even do it. Like the only time now that I ever eat when it's a good time to eat is if I legit know, like when I fly out of town and I'm not going to have the opportunity on a long flight to eat for 7 hours.
Right.
I'm normally not going to be hungry before I leave for the airport, but I know that in midair across country, I'm going to be really hungry and not want to have to wait. So I would rather preemptive eat. That's not a problem. But if I'm always just looking for the optimum opportunity to eat, guess what? That also bleeds into it's an opportune time to eat at a party, and it's an opportune time to eat at the holiday, and it's an opportunity. Like your brain gets on that it's a good time to eat mentality. So this is a good thought for you to be catching.
Yeah.
All right. So it's a good time to eat. How's that feel? Probably good.
You know, the day gets busy and I'm like, okay, this is a natural time between tasks. And then I'm like, no, but I'm noticing it. So at least I'm not just blowing through it.
No, I think you're in a great place. We're only going to model it just so you can kind of see it in effect. Right. And other people who do this can, because some people are not in the noticing, but they're hearing this now and they're like, oh, I'm doing that. What do you mean? That's a terrible thought. I thought I was doing excellent. But how is it like, think about it when you think of the thought, it's a good time to eat. That feels what?
I guess kind of like relief. Like, okay,
relief.
The day is going on. It's busy. This would be the good, I guess, relief. You know,
we know that one of the best feelings in the world to drive weight loss is relief eating. And then
like, I can just go on with my day.
We eat when we aren't hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also eat at night when we're not hungry, even though you're not overeating.
Right.
You're eating a meal like you've not even questioned yet if you need. It's like, well, I just want to be done with eating now. So like we're in this constant, it's a good time to eat. It's a good time to eat.
Yeah.
So the result is we just have a lot of good times with food.
Right. Wow. It's just, I'm not eating when I'm hungry. I'm eating when it's convenient. And I mean, I'm staying on plan. It's just like, I don't know that I really needed that meal.
Well, and the ultimate result here too is the clock loses weight, but I don't.
Yeah.
The clock is like, hey, I'm not fat. I'm not going to gain any weight. I'm not going to lose any weight. You can feed me all you want. It's not going to be helpful.
Right.
So that's why I just wanted to point this out. That's why I'm paying attention to every time you have the thought, it's a good time to eat. I would just add something really simple on it. It's a good time to eat is how I used to think. Because now what you're learning is, and this will be good because you said like the first thing was you're feeling a struggle. So if you just add to the end of this, it's a good time to eat. That's how I used to think. It will say like, all right, but am I going to eat now? Like, am I actually hungry? You start getting into feeling curious about your body, not curious about the clock all the time.
Yeah. Okay.
The struggle starts going down because you're now practicing questioning and curiosity instead.
Right. And then another thing that happens, I'm like, oh, I did this week. I'm like, I'm not going to eat dinner. I'm not hungry right now. And you know what? If I do get hungry, I'll just go down and eat. I had put like my emergency, like hungry as a cup of tomato soup, and I never went back downstairs.
Yeah.
So it was a victory.
It is a victory because it goes from that mindset of like, well, if I get hungry, I know I can eat versus I can't eat right now because I'm not hungry and I'm not supposed to. Like there's people out there who have that very like, you know, oppressive conversation and language around their food.
Right.
Like, you know, ooh, I'm not hungry right now. So that means I can't eat. And it's like, you know what? I'm not hungry right now. I'm going to see what happens. If I do get hungry, I know that I can have this. And that, like,
and I just made it yeah.
Yeah.
And I made it a very simple meal. Like I have like three things that even if it's not necessarily on plan, they're good choices. They're small. Cause I'm not raging hungry at the end of the night and it'll just get me through to bedtime, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, and it doesn't require a lot of prep time, which is kind of what I want to be done with the prep time. Right. So, okay. Go down and heat something up in the microwave.
Yeah. I'm not a huge dinner fan either. My hunger tends to be, cause I get up at 4:30 every morning.
Yeah.
And by the time, like it is about 4 o'clock in the afternoon is about when I like to be eating dinner. No one in my son's not even home from school yet.
Yeah, I know.
Like often I'm telling Chris on date night, I'm like, let's go like at 3:30. He's like, 3:30.
The early bird.
Yeah. Seriously, I'm ready. Like Bluebird special, where are we at? Like
Yeah.
But
and I've always been like that. Yeah. Yeah. And I've always been really, really hungry, like the first half of the day.
Yeah.
And I can always I'm like not a nighttime muncher or anything like that. So
I just roll that. I think you're doing great.
Okay.
I think you're doing this all is right, like awesome. This is the little stuff, man. This is the stuff we want to be cleaning up all the time. Just the little things. It makes the whole journey so much simpler.
Right. I'm really enjoying this so far.
Awesome. Well, thank you.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Laura Gary. Haven't talked to you in a long time, girlfriend. Laura's an oldie, y'all. Got some old school in the house.
Start video. All right. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. You've cut your hair.
Hey, you did.
Have you cut your hair?
I did.
Okay.
I did. Just like I'm starting.
Well, you look good, lady.
You're right. It's not the normal braid to the side. That no, yeah. I hit 45 and said I'm ready to embrace my grays. So all of looking my grays, it's all natural. I'm enjoying it.
You're like Betsy. Betsy's the same way. She's all about her gray and it's graying beautifully. So we'll be coaching.
As a matter of fact, I'm willing to come in. Like I want more now. Like I want more of my natural highlights.
That's right.
Okay, so we're coaching on. I've noticed a pattern. So I travel with work, and I'm away from my husband and away from my family most of the time. So we get weekends together. We're actually next weekend. I'm going to be in New Orleans also. I'm going to Mississippi. He's doing the half. I'm doing the full. I cannot promise that he will not bombard you if he sees you anywhere in the area. And because he,
well, I will not be looking like this. I'll be looking like my.
Well, I told him you might
Sunday morning not. Shit yeah. Wad face. I'll be like.
I said, you know, you might not recognize her. She might have a hat on. She might be kind of bundled up. I said, if you see her, great. But you know, who knows? A lot of people will be there. So. What I've noticed is that when we have the weekends together, we have our time together. We just did the dopey. That was fantastic. I loved it. The minute he left, I disconnected from myself. Like when we are, like I'm great leading up to, I'm great during our time together. But when we separate, it's sadness. And it's, you know, so I've
so
done models.
Why feeling sadness is disconnecting from yourself? That's interesting.
Well, because then it ends in off plan eating. Like if I'm traveling, I eat all the junk at
so you're disconnecting from sadness.
I'm trying to avoid the sadness or
why?
Yeah, I'm resisting the sadness because I don't know how to sit in it, I guess. Because
well, I want to know what the sadness thought is. So husband goes,
yeah,
so this is like, so our circumstance is what?
We did. Okay. So the model that I have circumstances, just like leave, like weekends over, leave family or leave husband, like
so
go back to work.
So you're just traveling away from them?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And like, well, my traveling, like I live away from, like my traveling is traveling home to visit. Like right now I'm living in Arkansas. Next month I'm going to be living in California.
Well,
so it's our weekend together.
Okay, so it's when the weekend's over, though, the sadness is happening?
That's usually, like, sometimes it happens during the time, but I'm able to, like, catch it. Like, I'd had a really good coaching call with both Kathy and Betsy, and one of them had suggested, well, it's normal to feel that in the moment. Why don't you just table the sadness? So I've gotten kind of good at, like, acknowledging it and going, like, when I start feeling it coming on, like, God, it's about to end already. I'll go, no, that's normal to feel. Let's table that.
It's about to end already is happening when you're at.
When I'm with them. Like, yeah, when I'm with them, like sometimes on Friday I'll get there and then I'm already thinking about Monday when I leave and I'll go, no, let's, I want to be in the moment now. I'm enjoying this moment.
Yeah,
when Monday comes,
this is what I would say. Monday, there's plenty of time for sadness, which is so normal.
Right. Right. And I've become more aware of that. Yeah. I've become more aware of that. And like my intentional thought is I love my husband and I love our time together. It's natural to feel sad now. So,
but I want to know why you're feeling sad. Like, we still are all over the place. So let me ask you a few questions.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What's happening is your brain is telling me like thousands of things.
All the models.
Probably why you can't express your sadness, because your brain is like jumping. When you're there with them, you have to be on your guard to fully enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no time for doing anything but taking every moment of this in and loving every single moment. And any moment that I want to think something else, like, oh yeah, that's just what I do. I try to feel sad because I'm so afraid of feeling sad later. So let's not.
Like I'm expecting it.
Yeah,
you're supposed to
feel sad.
Yeah.
But here's what you're doing. You're feeling sad when you're with them and then avoiding feeling sad when you're not. That's the asshole way of doing it.
Yes.
Right. Yes. And like, I'm all in on happy love and connection. Woo woo. Because you know what?
Yeah.
And I'm going to be fucking sad come Monday morning. All the sad.
Right. And my awareness has evolved to catching myself in it. And I'm like, now, like, pre-planning for it, I've gotten much better. And so the unintentional is I'm going to miss my husband. Like when the time comes, I'm going to miss my husband. Like
so
when
why is it a problem to miss him?
It's not a problem. It's just what happens. And I don't know how to sit in it or not eat over it. That's the problem. The problem is because
Laura, let's not be ignorant. You do know how to not eat over it. What is required to not eat over sadness?
And just not put the food in my mouth.
Yeah.
I mean, like do the pause. Not allow it.
It's not even all that.
Not try to numb.
You're
not even try to numb myself from it.
You're like, just stay with me for a second, at least for the children. All the children watching.
All right. Let's just take it down to the basics.
It's going to be.
I need to change my thought over it.
No, you don't.
Just accept it.
You need to.
Be sad.
Sadness means what?
I mean, it's just shitty.
That's the problem. That's why you don't want to feel it, because you're saying when I feel sad, it's a shitty feeling, rather than when I feel sad, it's the ultimate expression of how much love I have for my family. It's your thought. That's why I wanted to figure out what's going on with sadness. Your thought is this is shitty.
Right.
You never stumbled upon your thought about sadness.
Okay.
Like if you thought, legit all of you, if you thought that your feelings, this is what I taught last week, were just an indicator light to look within, to figure out what's missing, you would know. I know exactly what's missing. The love of my life. That's not a reason to eat.
Right.
It's a reason to maybe have a good cry and remember all the amazing things we did this weekend. Count down to when I get to see him again. But also just like, sometimes I really miss my family. That's called being human. Thank God. That must mean I really love them. I don't need to run from love.
Yeah, that's a great one. I'd never looked at it that way. Like this sadness is just, it shows how much I love my husband. It shows how much I love my family. And then I can sit in that. I can sit in that and I can feel love.
Let me, since you're an old pro, let me just tell you what I essentially did. I moved your sadness here to your circumstance line.
Right.
You're not treating it as the feeling you're having to figure out what's driving sadness. I wanted your opinion about it. I knew that's where the problem was.
About sadness, right.
So for all of you, what ends up happening is when you are resisting feelings, like when you're like, I don't want to feel sad, I don't want to feel these things, like when you spend a lot of your energy and effort on eating and avoiding and stuff, ask yourself to do a thought download on what are my opinions about sadness. This is a shitty feeling is where you start the work. Because no feeling is shitty. Every feeling is information about something happening on the inside and how I want to internalize it. Now, if you have feelings like it's unfair that I have to travel, like if some of those things came up, those mm-hmm. are things you work through. But if it's, mm-hmm. I just really love my husband and this is normal, then on the feeling yeah. lines, it's like, you have, like, this is an indicator of love. You start feeling compassion for yourself.
Right. Right. And then my mm-hmm. action is plan realistically, still listen to my honor, to my hunger scale, honor all the work that I'm doing on myself.
Right. Avoid urges. Yeah. Like becoming way more apparent when you have compassion. When you're in full on resistance, urges, they just, you know, they're just adding to the mix.
Right. Right.
And guess what happens? You start to see if sadness, if this is an indicator of love, you start seeing signs you love yourself.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant.
You feel better?
Much better. Thank you. Much, much better. I will have much different TDLs now, much different models, and will prepare myself much better for Friday.
Yeah.
For Monday.
I would say prepare yourself for Monday. You know how like when you come to camp and I talk about how like when you leave, there's like that letdown that's very natural, where it's like we kind of bottom out and we're like, oh my God, what's wrong? It's like preparing for that. Just like, you know what? Mondays are usually hard on me because I really miss my family. So that's the day I want to have the most compassionate meal plan. I want to give myself some space. I want to make sure that I'm not like trying to do all the things, like whatever you can do to make that day a time where you can like really open up. So like when we say open up space, where you can open up space to listen to yourself.
Yeah.
It's a good, it's really good. All right, Lainey. It was good talking to you. Maybe I'll bump into you next weekend.
Who knows? Who knows? Thank you so much, Corinne.
You're welcome. Bye. Barbara. You're very welcome, Clarissa. I hope you're talking to me. I can't believe how many of you are here on Super Bowl weekend. I just got to like give it up to my girls. Y'all making it happen. Looks like you're fixing to be there. There we are. Hi.
Wow.
What are we coaching on?
What
are we coaching on?
Oh, okay. I wrote down in my book here just so I can get my thoughts straight. First of all, I have borderline personality disorder. And I've gone through the full therapy, dialectic behavior therapy. But the thing that is that I don't trust my feelings to what is normal, because what I thought was normal is not normal. So the hunger scale is, I don't trust that I know what -2 to +2 is. And then I make a 24-hour plan and I have the food all prepped. But when it comes time, I don't want the food. I want something else. So like, I bring my lunch and snack and dinner to work with me, but then I snack again when I get home. So I don't know what to do.
Okay, so let's do this. So you're not eating. So the big problem is you're not eating what you say you're going to eat. Okay.
And yeah. I've heard you say before, well, you need to change up what's on your plan because you don't want what's, you know, plan realistic. And the thing is that I think I'm planning realistic because, like, I made beef stew, a week's worth, you know, 5 servings of beef stew and turkey chili, which I actually really like them. But when it comes time to, you know, come leave work and go home for dinner, I just want to stop at the KFC and grab a chicken breast.
So, right. That's because you're telling yourself that you want turkey chili. And it's like, well, that should be it. Like, I actually do want that. And that's a lie. You don't want that. You want KFC.
Yeah, but I mean, I have turkey chili.
Right, but not at night when it's time to get KFC. There's a version of you that wants KFC. You're just, you don't like her. That's why you keep playing at turkey chili.
And, like, I've already had the groceries bought to make a...
Doesn't matter. Why does that matter? How many, let me ask you this. How many people in PNP do you think has a fridge full of groceries every single week and ends up throwing half of it away because they eat shit they don't want to? Or they eat the stuff they want instead of the stuff that they bought saying, this is what I want.
See, the thing is that the beef stew and the turkey chili, it got eaten.
But okay. That's great. It just didn't get eaten on KFC night.
No, like I'll have it for lunch at work. And then on my way home, I was like, oh, I'm just dying for that. And the thing is, I think it all comes back to that. I don't trust myself, what feelings are normal.
Because it's really hard to trust yourself when you're planning for someone you're not yet. That's the problem that we're running into. There's you we have right now who wants to eat KFC at night sometimes. And then we have you planning for this version of Barbara you don't know yet that's supposed to override all the KFC and just be happy with eating turkey chili and beef stew every single night. So, y'all, you don't trust. Every single week you show yourself, this is the version I want to be over here. Why not just plan, like, how many nights last week did you plan for KFC?
I didn't plan any.
Why don't we just plan for that rather than, like, for now, why don't we just plan to have that so that we can build trust and integrity with ourselves?
I guess, you know, I've tried to do that with other things. And
like what things?
Eggs get thrown in, you know, going for, oh, I don't know. I write these things down. Like I wanted toast, peanut butter, and banana, and I ended up going for KFC and coleslaw.
Okay, why are we not like that? That comes back to my question. If you really
want, I love peanut butter and banana.
But you don't when it's KFC night. I don't like, you know what I also love? Like I love salads. But on date night, I don't want a salad. Why would I keep planning a salad? Yeah, I want to know why they're not just planning KFC. Why are we not having some KFC on the plan? There's a thought that's missing here.
I think it's because I don't trust my thoughts.
Right, but right now all that's happening. So let me show you what's happening. We have KFC. Okay? The circumstance is just going to be KFC. We'll do versus soup. I don't trust myself. How does that feel?
Like I have no control.
Do what?
I don't have control over. Honestly, I don't know how that feels.
Out of control?
I don't know. Oh, sorry. I don't have any control over my eyes either.
I'll give you suggestions. Sometimes when people think I don't trust myself, it feels sad, hopeless, helpless.
Hopeless?
Hopeless. So when you feel hopeless thinking I don't trust myself, eating off plan is always going to be a better deal. A normal functioning brain will always go to whatever's easiest when it feels threatened from distrust and hopelessness. That's not a diagnosis thing. That's a normal thing. I hate to break the news to you, but you're pretty much like all the rest of these hussies in the chat right now. They're all struggling with the same fucking issue. I don't trust myself. I just got through coaching 70 women all week. The most common problem was I don't trust myself around cookies. I don't trust myself around nachos. I don't trust myself around food. I don't trust myself to make a realistic plan.
I don't trust my feelings. I don't trust my emotions. I don't know.
That's why I think it's even more important for you to have a very realistic plan, one that doesn't leave it up to your emotions to drive it. Like expecting Barbara to feel compelled and whatever all the time is going to be, you know, a big ask. And you're seeing the problem now. When you don't trust yourself, you don't eat your planned food, all you learn is how, like, more you collect evidence, you're not trustworthy. The problem isn't your feelings line is broken. The problem is you keep repeating this to yourself. I don't trust myself. I don't trust myself. What if we were just like, trust is irrelevant. I just need a very doable plan. When I lost weight, I didn't trust myself either. I just didn't remind myself on the regular about it. I had to build trust in my plans that I made for myself. I trusted them. So like I had the KFC, I had the ice cream and stuff built in so that all I had to work on was not eating all of it out of frustration and disappointment in myself, where I could eat it in control because it's what I really wanted at the time. I learned to love the version of me that wants KFC, not hate her and think she's broken because she wants KFC more than turkey chili.
The KFC is, as you say, you know, I just did the fuck it mode. And maybe because I don't trust myself.
Stop saying that. You're not allowed to say that ever again out loud with your tongue. The quickest way to get it to change on the inside is to quit verbalizing it. You can say anything you want. You don't have to say that. It's not a fact. It's just a way you keep describing yourself. And you've described it to yourself so often you believe it. And now I'm just going to tell you, that's one version. It can either be, I don't trust myself, or I'm breaking the belief that I don't trust myself.
Okay, so I just basically have to start trusting my feelings, and I don't know how to do that.
You don't have to trust your feelings. You do not need to trust your feelings right now. You need to understand you're learning how to break the story that you don't trust yourself. That is not going to be a switch that flips on. Here's what I would do if I was Barbara. Do you want to see what Corinne's model would be?
Okay.
Okay.
Yes, please.
My thought about KFC versus soup. They are both going on the plan. so I can build trust in my choices. So I would have my feeling here, at least would be ease, less complicated. This would be like, to me, the feeling would be uncomplicated. We are now going to have ourselves a choice. The daily plan, every single day, would have KFC or soup as my nightly option. And my KFC meal would be very specific. This is what I order from KFC. I don't need to have like lots of feelings, thoughts, and all kinds of stuff. I'm going to do all of that deciding ahead of time for myself. And then guess what the result is?
That I start trusting my choices, and that I start trusting my... I find that even difficult to say.
Right. That's what happens with belief systems. Whenever you like have this aha moment, it's going to feel weird. And that's exactly what I need you to do, is to feel weird. The problem is you're too damn comfortable with the old thought. We want that one to start feeling weird. And we want the new one to be like, oh, this is what's happening. The only way we get there, though, is through the path of, this feels weird. I don't know if this is going to work. It's kind of strange. If all that's coming up, you're doing exactly right. If none of that's coming up, you're driving into KFC every single day, breaking your plan because you didn't put it on there. That feels very comfortable and normal, doesn't it? Feels comfortable and normal to just break your plan.
Yes.
So what we really are doing here is we're allowing you to start seeing you're always the one making the choices. It's never, ever personality disorder. It's never, ever the feelings making the choices. It's really always just Barbara. But I think for you, we have to show your brain you're making the choices. So we put both on there so that we get out of the habit of just defaulting to breaking our plan. That's the choice you're making now. And I want to take that part out so you can start building that trust.
Okay, so for on the plan, I can put like two or three choices that I'm going to have for dinner.
Yeah.
And pick those three choices.
Yes, ma'am. It's your plan. I would do whatever's going to set you up for the most success.
Because I was thinking you had just had to put one thing for breakfast, one thing for lunch, one thing for dinner, and that's what you got to stick to.
Only if that's going to work for you.
Yeah, no.
The simplest thing for everyone is to just put one thing down, right? Because you don't have to come up with two or three. A lot of people are like, oh my God, if I had two or three things, that would be so overwhelming to me. I'd have to come up with that every day. You'd have somebody flipping their wig going, Barbara, that's a problem. What do you mean you get relief in having two things down? They would think you're crazy. Whereas you're like, you're crazy for wanting to only put one thing down every single day. That shit's nuts. That shit doesn't work. Everybody has to put on their plan. The overriding message everybody needs to get from this is you do your plan in a way that sets you up for success in the moment you're making your decisions. When you start experiencing the success of following through on yourself, you feel better. And when you feel better, you stand a way better chance of eating better and eating in control because you start experiencing what it's like to be in control of your life. Does it make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's the KFC or the soup. Whatever you want to put down. I want you putting it on there and rolling with that for a while, okay? And when you watch this video, I want you to write this thought down. No more saying, I don't trust my feelings and I don't trust, like, it's not helpful for you. It makes you cry. That's how I know it's not helpful to think that way anymore. I'm working on it. I'm breaking the belief. Right. All the things, like, I'm working on it. Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Good luck. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye. Somebody's like, what? Choices? Yeah, choices. Guys, quit making the planning so fucking hard on yourselves. We're supposed to be, I don't know, somewhere in that Nobius, I kind of think that I put in there, what's the easiest way to lose weight today? Not what's the most like grinding, deprivation, restrictive, hard as fuck line to walk, which is what most of you do. You're like unconsciously doing it. Let's do some conscious design of our life. Y'all's problem isn't that you eat McDonald's. Y'all's problem is that you eat McDonald's when you feel bad, when you feel hopeless. You eat some McDonald's on purpose because you planned it and you drive your ass through the drive-thru on a Thursday night. It's not near as big a deal. You order different. You consume it different. You're not like, oh, God, I need to eat all of it because who the fuck knows when I'll get McDonald's again, because you know me, I'm going to start that diet again tomorrow. No. We got to lower the temperature on all of it. Let's see. Judith. I freaked myself out about the planning, so I just went to White Castle's 3 times in the last 5 days. Make it easy. Ask yourself, what is the easiest way to plan my food? If it's White Castle, then plan the White Castle, but do it on purpose. Don't y'all keep driving up through the drive-thru feeling fuck it mode anymore. No more fuck it drive-thrus. At least do it because you like you planned for it. Hello, Judith.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing good.
It is so lovely to hear you. Yeah. I really am just coming to you today. I'm one of those people that every now and then needs to hear from people that are applying what you teach.
Yeah.
Okay. So for the last 2 weeks, my weight has remained constant. Okay. And my brain wants to go to, you are at a plateau, you are at a plateau. And then Corinne's voice shows up and says, bring me the data, bring me the data. And the data truly supports that. Judith Losh, if you do your plans, you do well. When you don't plan, you don't do well.
Okay. So I'm not planning.
One week I was sick, I was feeling crummy, so I didn't plan. The other week I was just kind of like, well, I survived last week. So when I looked at it for the month, it was 23 out of 31 where I planned at 74%. But those 2 weeks when I didn't plan, they, you know, gee, you don't plan, you don't move forward.
So what did you eat during those days?
What did I eat?
Yeah, like, were you eating sensibly or were you face down? Like, No.
I was still eating sensibly, but it was like I was eating soup, which isn't, you know, all that awful. I was having, I know, food is not awful. I was having soup. I had chili, Bojo's chicken, but I do only eat that 2 of 2. And did that day. Waffle with jelly, fish. One of the biggest things I noted, though, was I was not drinking my water because water on my stomach just was not feeling good.
You've been sick. Your weight loss is stalled.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do now?
Well, I will tell you, I have replanned. I moved forward with, I have my plan for the week in terms of breakfast and lunch for the coming week. Dinner is one that I do 2 to 2 for dinner simply because that's what works for my household. All right.
So, and that will work to get you off your weight loss plateau.
I'm sorry?
And that will also work to get you off your weight loss plateau. I'm just making sure.
Yes. Okay. Yes, it will. Because one of the other things is going through the new No BS, right? I really I was like, I don't have foods that I can't eat. I don't have diet rules, but I'm also not a lifelong dieter either. Yeah. Okay. My rules actually go back to Weight Watchers' healthy lifestyles of you got to get your fruits and vegetables. You got to get your water. You got to get your dairy. All right. So I'm giving up, got to get my dairy right now. That is not something that's working for me at all. Okay. I have worked to where I am adding two vegetables and a fruit every day. And that's why my breakfasts and my lunches are planned now, because those are the, and actually those are the meals that if I don't plan, I go, you know, I just kind of grab ass, whatever I can find. Whereas when I plan my breakfast, you know, in breakfast, you know, starting near the end of last week, even when I wasn't necessarily planning it, came to a very consistent blueberries, coffee with cream is always the constant. And then blueberries or a Kodiak muffin cake.
Yeah. Yeah. I will tell okay. you, the majority of you, if you don't plan, you're relying on, so our habit brain is where the pleasure pleasure central is, and it tries to avoid pain. So if you're not planning your food, this is one of the reasons why so many of us struggle when we're overweight, is because your brain is going to want to go to what's easiest, because that takes the least amount of energy. And it also is going to seek out pleasure. So that will be what it's looking for. When you have a plan, it doesn't need to utilize pleasure in the avoidance of pain and the seeking of easy. The plan gives it the easy, but then it doesn't need to utilize the other part. That's why planning ends up being very successful for people who lose weight. That's why the people in the tribe, the ones that lose weight consistently over time, are people who just decide ahead of time what they're going to eat, rather than leaving it up to the habit brain that requires pleasure, the avoidance of pain, and ease to make all the decisions. So it's a really key concept. I just want to explain to everyone, you need to really embrace it. Now, like our last caller, when we talked about it, you can plan all kinds of stuff. It's not that you're just planting blueberries and that's all you get, or, you know, whatever. You know, right. Only soup, but it's this idea of, you know, the planning is key. I don't see any problems here other than you were sick. Okay. And like I will say, a lot of people think that when they're sick because they don't eat much, that, oh, I should lose weight. Like Kathy Hartman, I don't even remember when it was. It was a few weeks ago. She literally spent 2 days on the toilet not eating anything but crackers and just had all the diarrhea. She was up 3 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
That just happens. Your body is under attack from being sick does not mean it's going to lose weight. All it means is that it's going to go do its best to keep your ass alive. And if that means holding on to fat to protect you, holding on to water and any sodium you put on in order to double down on the immune system, it's going to do that. It really doesn't care what you wrote in your 30-day plan for your monthly goal. It's like, you know what? We got to stay alive. We override.
Got it.
So I wouldn't worry so much about stalling. As you did the right thing. You noticed something going on here. You went back and looked at your data. You're cleaning up the margins where it just, you know, when you're sick, sometimes you get a little sloppy. You're putting that right back into place. And then just having compassion that, yeah, my body probably did stall. I've been sick. I'd rather it take care of me than to lose a bunch of weight. Because here's the flip side of it. A lot of times when we get sick, we do lose some weight. And then the second we eat a healthy meal, we gain half of it back. And then we're like, oh my God, nothing works. And it's the biggest bunch of bullshit. It's like, that was weight you weren't entitled to lose. It dropped water around your liver. Nobody is sitting around saying, girl, do you notice my thin liver?
All right, I got you. And I do also have to share that on Friday, did Hello Scale, feeling a little less than, but, you know, knew and moved forward, went to work. I was at a school that I was not, that I'm not at regularly. And one of the teachers came in and said, "Girl, have you lost weight?" And I looked and I just said, "Yes, I have. Thank you for noticing." I didn't go into, "Yes, I have," but da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I was like,
right.
You just simply say, "Yes, thank you." And we, you know, she said, "Well, what have you been doing?" She said, "I noticed it's been slow." I said, "Yep, you're right. That's exactly it. Doing lots of thoughts around it," and mentioned the program. And she was like, "That's just really good. I'm proud of you, girl." I was like, awesome. Okay.
How much weight have you lost?
Since joining the tribe in January, I've actually lost 30.
Oh my gosh, you're doing so good.
Well, not this January, last January. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but
January.
Still, 30 pounds. So
it is. It's down 30 and I've kept it off. So that
I'm glad you said that too. 30 pounds in a month is not what Corinne, I kind of figured.
Yeah, no, no.
Plus, since we've coached before, you know, like we've either coached, I've seen your face. Let's put it that way. At this point, I don't ever remember where I see faces. I could have hugged you and kissed
right.
you and be like, "Where did I see you?"
Right.
But right. Yeah.
No, it's, and I was at October camp. So
yes.
And that has been huge. You know, just, it really is to let everybody know it is the thought work that makes a difference. My okay. relationships have gotten so much better. So it really is learning to see, you know what, the whole world doesn't think about me. I think about me. The rest of the world thinks about them.
That is so good. Oh my gosh, that's so good. So, I love that. You may hear that in a podcast.
Aw, yeah. Well, thank you.
I may so say I, that and be I, like, I, yeah, I heard this amazing thing the other day, and I'm claiming it for my own.
Hey, there you go. It's called Copy and Steal Everything. It's great.
Yes. So, well, congratulations, just, Mama.
Thank you very much. And I just happened to see real quick, and you will probably mention it too, Barbara, don't ever apologize for tears. Other people have told her that in the Q&A, but she was apologizing for waterworks, and we never apologize for tears. They're all good. So,
could you imagine what an apology tour I would have to do for all the times I've cried? Would literally be called Corinne's Apology Tour. Coming to a city near you.
Oh, coming to a city near you. So yeah, but thank you
You're
for
welcome.
All you do for us. Thank
there's
you.
Last week
have now. A good day.
All right, there's some Q&A in here. I'm going to answer those, and then we're going to get out of here for the day so that you guys can go and enjoy your Super Bowl. All right, let's see. We got a handful. I'm a January baby after a month. I just realized my diet thinking is an issue. Lost 100 pounds eating 6 small meals that were mainly protein bars. Actually, only 1 meal a day. Now I'm training for a marathon and realize I'm not eating actual food very often, mostly eating snacks, which are bars, fruit, et cetera. How do I change that? What should an actual meal look like? Shannon, I would go to the exercise group. Why don't you post that in there and ask them about what they're eating? A lot of them are doing races and stuff. I know for me, like, you know, I've been training for this half. Here's how I would attack it. Get to where you change one meal out every couple weeks. So if you're eating bars, let's switch it over to maybe now you start. Like if I had to guess from most people that do a lot of bars and stuff to lose weight, they get a sensible dinner. Keep your sensible dinner. Practice a couple times a week eating breakfast. You're going to need to give your colon and stuff some opportunity to kind of catch up to all this, especially while training for a half marathon. You will feel better and probably not get as injured in all the things if you're eating real food. Bars don't cut it, honey. Not when it comes to training for like endurance events like that. So I mean, I eat the same. Like my breakfast is usually eggs with cheese, and then we have like Brussels sprouts, peppers, and onions and mushrooms. It's like a big scramble, and I eat that with 2 pieces. I love that. Dave's Killer Bread. I get the thin slice because I like to have 2 pieces of toast. I don't like to just have one good one. I always like to have 2. So I have that for breakfast most days. My lunches usually consist of either a stew, a big salad, and a bowl of fruit on the side. That's usually my lunches are either soups or salads just because I like to get a lot of vegetables in every single day. It's important to me, guys. I just, you know, I'm at this age now where I want to look and feel my best. And salads and soups are such an easy way to get a fuck ton in all at one time. Dinners are usually, let's see, this week I'm having shepherd's pie, which has got like mashed potatoes on top. That's what Aunt JJ is going to be making. Sometimes I'll have her do things like spaghetti squash with meatballs and some cheese on it. I do, sometimes I just do bowls, like especially if I'm running a lot, I'll do bowls that have noodles in the bottom with some green beans, another vegetable, and then just like steak or sometimes she'll do some like pork roast or something along those, just whatever I want, basically. I do, sometimes I do paella, which has some vegetables, and we make it with cauliflower rice. Like if I'm not training a lot where I don't need tons of carbs, sometimes I'll swap out cauliflower rice, not because it's low carb. It's an easy way to get in a vegetable and it tastes good. So like she'll make me a really wicked paella with like carrots and peas and like all kinds of like, you know, the tomato sauce and shrimp and sausage. And we put mushrooms in. I'm a big mushroom girl. So we'll put all that in there. And then we'll sub in cauliflower rice for rice just so that I get one more dose of vegetables. I'm just, guys, I'm just funny about vegetables. I grew up not eating vegetables. I grew up eating fast food all my life. When I finally started eating fruits and vegetables and just noticed how much more energy I get from them, just started making sure that I include them. Now, I also sometimes don't really give a shit when I'm on my period. It's all about breads. I don't eat a lot of salads. I eat my Weight Watchers pizzas and fruits. I typically am a big fruit eater, but I try to mix all that up, especially because I travel and I hug a lot of people. So you can imagine how many like germs I'm always exposed to, and I rarely get sick. So I think that helps. Let's see. I got overwhelmed with my new job and not being able to find a routine and use it as an excuse to quit on myself. I told myself I couldn't afford to pay $59 a month to not use any of the tools. I canceled my membership and it expires in a few days. Is there any chance to keep my membership? I made a stupid choice. All right, first of all, Angie, you do not need to beat yourself up. Let's just say, rather than saying I made a stupid choice, reflect on this. I got overwhelmed with my new job. And of course, my brain, one of the first things it would say is, well, we surely can't be losing weight right now. We surely can't be doing this. One of the reasons why our brain likes to do that is because if we're learning something new, it's like, well, we should take away this whole diet thing because that means we're not going to get to rely on food to get us through this thing. It's very normal. It would make sense. Your brain is freaking out over here. And rather than solving for the freak out, it opens up an avenue to make a path to relief, which is like eating and not having to like listen to someone saying, you know, it's not really the job. It's your thoughts about it. It's probably what's happening is you're freaking out that you're brand new. And what is everybody going to think of me? And I'm going to do stuff and make mistakes. And if you're a perfectionist and you get a brand new job, guess what? Perfectionists go immediately into overwhelm because they're going to do a lot of shit wrong. And a lot of people are going to have opinions about it, and they're not used to dealing with other people's opinions outside of making it mean they're a terrible person. So with all that said, I want you to cut out the language. You're not stupid. You didn't quit on yourself. None of that's happening. It's like, here I am noticing that I decided to cancel my membership. I think I want to keep it. It could help me get through this transition of a brand new job. All I want you to do is email support at pnptribe.com. You have 7 days from the time you quit, all of you. I give you guys 7 days to change your mind for a reason. The reason why is because, like, most people won't do that, you know, because we don't open all the time. You can't just get back in when you want to. The reason why I do it is because I know us. I can't tell you how many diets I quit when I was losing weight. I can't tell you how many times I did do that. We make spur of the moment decisions to give up. Like our knee jerk reactions is to give up on us rather than to ask ourselves the question, why do I feel like giving up on myself right now? Just being like, I'm just going to figure out what that's about. Is that really useful for me? Do I need to do that? Or am I just freaking out a little bit and I need to look into my freak out? So anyway, You have 7 days. Just email support at pnptribe.com. Tell them you don't want to quit. They'll take care of everything. You quit longer than 7 days ago and you're still getting access to all this. Well, you need to email support at pnptribe.com, Angie Thomas. We need to figure it out because your membership should have automatically stopped all this stuff. So that's let's put it this way. That's a technical part on our problem. So I will let you stay just because we have a technology issue. But I appreciate you being really honest and saying that so that I can talk to Chris, because that means we have something going on the backside. So I'll work on that, but we will let you stay. How about that? What was your biggest aha from this week's past 6 day with the girls? Oh gosh, I had 1,000. I would say my biggest aha was really understanding the fundamental thing that has to happen for all of you is you have to understand the model when it comes to just this one part. You don't have to know how to do models. That's not what I'm saying. So many of you are going through life thinking that your circumstances are to blame for how you feel and how you act. And they're not. The moment you understand that my thinking leads to how I feel and act about this, you take complete ownership of everything. And when you have complete ownership, you have the ability to change anything you want. That was probably like, I must have said 1,000 times when they were talking, like, oh, you feel bad because he said this. Did you forget about the thought? So why do you feel bad? Because you think he shouldn't have said this. That's fine, but let's just be honest about why we feel bad. The same thing with acne. I ate because my boss said these things. Oh, wait. Remember, what did we think about your boss saying those things that led you to feel this, that leads to eating? The moment you guys start making that little part click, and you will see your whole world start changing. You will notice all the areas of your life that you're going through on autopilot, waiting for something else to change before you change you. That's the biggest aha of this week. I took away their waiting for the world to change. They don't have that option anymore. We really processed 1,000,001 things, but I told them, everything you learn this week, you will go home and you will experience it all in a new way because you'll never blame again. Like, that's what we drove home the most. Let's see, one more. Can you suggest a writing prompt for me to determine if thoughts are holding me back from participating in activities? Or is it me needing extra rest? Yeah, so you just ask yourself. So if you are, say, skipping activities, right? So that will go on your action line. So we know something that you're doing, skipping activities. When I'm skipping activities, it's because I'm thinking and feeling what? That's the only journal prompt you need. Come up, like, just write about it. When I skip activities, it's often because I'm thinking and feeling, thinking and feeling, thinking and feeling. Look to see what you're thinking and feeling. For some people, what happens is they will do things like, they will think, I'm just too tired today. Ask yourself, well, why was I tired? Because I didn't want to be doing it anymore. I lost interest. That's different than, I noticed my body or my legs felt really heavy or something along those lines. That's what I would start with, Karen. That will give you a lot of insight into why you're skipping activities. The same thing for all of you people who don't go to parties or who skip like business functions and things like kids functions and stuff. When you're doing the skipping of activities, always ask yourself, it's because I'm thinking and feeling what? If you're worried about what people are going to think of you, and that's why you're skipping activities. Well, we for sure want to work on that. If you like legit, like I got two places to be and I've got to pick the best one, then we know we don't have a thought problem. So that's how I would do it. Okay. That's it for today. If I didn't get your question or I didn't get you in coaching, you can go. Let me give you the options for the week. We have on Wednesday night, there's office hours with Kathy. You can come over there and ask questions, and you can not only ask questions, but you can get coached. We also have a tribe Q&A on Thursday night at 5 p.m. Central Time. Both of those are at 5 p.m. Central Time. We're just doing Q&A, so it's just going to be rapid-fire questions. So if you want to come back for that, you also can take it to Ask Coaches. You also can take it to the Facebook group. All kinds of stuff going on for places for you guys to get help. Y'all have a good one. I will see you soon. Bye, y'all.